Okay, so tonight we're going to get into Proverbs chapter 22, see how far we get. Got some wonderful verses picked out here. And if some of you that are listening in want to bring up some other ones, that would be great. We did that last couple times, and it was great to see y'all involved in reading the Word and sharing some of the things that really touch your heart. So, chapter 22, the first verse here, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, in a natural world, man wants all the silver and gold he can get, but it doesn't buy you a good name. It doesn't buy you a good favor in the eyes of people. You know, to be respected, to be loved, to be recognized for the good you do, for the spiritual good you do, that's what really counts. It's not how many silver bars or gold bars you have, but it's how good you are. And a good name is a name that's respected because of not the spelling of it so much as what you make that name to be in your walk with God. So, good verse there.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Evan, his first grade teacher, wanted a history on their name. That was what they're studying right now.
Oh.
Where their name, why their parents named them the way they did.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool. But, you know, Abraham, he was first Abram. And God changed his name to give him a vision for what his future was. He was Abraham, the father of many nations. So, you know, the names, it's important to give your child a good name that they can live up to as well. The name that represents good and has a reputation behind it.
Well, what was the, how did Evan get his name?
It was his grandmother's last name.
Maiden name.
But he doesn't know what that means. So we wrote on his paper that Evans was his grandma's last name.
Last name, yeah. Yeah, her maiden name.
What does it mean?
Evans.
What the word maiden would mean.
Oh, maiden.
So like it was her last name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my last name is Evans. I made a name.
Your last name?
So that's why I named him Evans.
Oh, so is your mother?
No, it's named after
me. Her family name.
Me.
Oh.
My family name.
Sorry.
He still has a Linfeld name to it, but.
Yeah.
Does?
He does?
Oh, no, that's right.
No.
He's a Wiestenberg.
Yeah.
That's right.
Might as a Robert.
Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, the next verse I've got is verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, sometimes I think parents just kind of go willy-nilly and let the child be what they think that child wants to be. Well, that child doesn't know nothing because it doesn't come out of the womb with any sense of knowledge. The knowledge the child gets is through the parents or the surroundings, the family. So very, very important to train up a child in the way he should go. And so it's a big deal. It's an art to bring up children. Okay. How about verse 9? He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. You know, why does he have a bountiful eye? That means he's looking. It's not like he's self-absorbed, but with a bountiful eye, it means he's looking to share and to give, okay?
Another
and to be blessed.
Generous.
Generous, yes. For he giveth his bread to the poor. And what a great attitude to have is to help others that are less fortunate, huh? Okay. There's another one, verse 15, about a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I know some people in this King James might think it's the idea of beating your kids into submission.
No, beating into
but no, no. It's correcting them. You know, they don't know any better. Children don't know any better, and so they're always going to need correction. And why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. They don't know any better. So we want to be there to correct them, to help them.
Lovingly.
Yeah, yeah, lovingly correct them. Obviously, God doesn't beat us into submission, does he? He loves us, and because of his love, we respond to that. And that's where we get that correction. And he has, his word is full of correction as well. So that's great. That's great. Verse 26, be not thou one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debt. The best I understand this, and I'm not an expert so much on this, but I believe we've talked about striking hands and it's an Orientalism. Bishop Pillai, I shared about him a couple weeks ago. And that's, you're shaking hands, okay? You shake hands, strike hands. But it's the next part of that is of them that are sureties for debts. In other words, people that will give you money to help you pay off your debts, but you know what happens? They charge high interest, okay? And that's not good. And the next verse says, if thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? You know, if somebody can't, they're owed, if they are a surety and they're in debt to that person, you know, that person may come and take something of value to cover the debt, but that's not any way to be. Obviously, this verse 27 relates to that. Why would we want to take somebody's possessions from them?
That's kind of important.
Yes.
The most important thing you have.
Yeah, yeah. There's other ways to deal with situations.
The New King James says, do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge.
In what?
In a pledge.
In a pledge?
When you're making a promise that you're going to pay for something.
Yeah.
And then you have nothing to pay it with. So you don't
make don't go shaking hands.
Don't borrow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't pay the debt.
Anything else in that chapter that anybody wants to bring up? Verse
29 is pretty cool.
29?
Is thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men or average men.
Yeah. So a man who's diligent in his business.
And before kings.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Diligent, being diligent in our business. Big deal. All right, chapter 23. I like verse 4. I think there's a great truth there. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. You know, why would we labor? I mean, you know, in our culture, especially in our American culture, we labor to have more and more. And people like to be rich, I'm sure. Everybody talks about, I'd like to be rich. But spiritually or from God's standpoint, do we labor to be rich? That's our own wisdom, right? But maybe we should labor to do the good works of our Heavenly Father, or help other people, or serve.
Do not overwork to be rich.
Yeah.
Overwork.
Overwork.
Okay. Put work before everything. Riches before everything.
Okay. We put riches. We work too hard to be rich when we need to think of others, maybe, instead of ourselves. Verse 7 is a pretty popular verse. I think we use this quite a bit. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, what are we thinking in our heart? So is he. You know, in the heart, we don't think in our pumping heart, in our body, right? That's a figure of speech. The depth of our personal life is our heart. We use that term. And so in the depth of our personal life, as we really think, that's how we're going to be. If we think we're not very good or very low or inadequate, it's probably what's going to happen. But if we think who we are in Christ, look out. We're more than conquerors, huh? Talk about the heart, verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to words of knowledge. So, you know, we always want to be learning and growing. I think sometimes people feel like they already know it all and they stop learning. But we want to apply our heart unto instruction and our ears to the words of knowledge. Verse 13 says, withhold not correction from the child. I don't know if you want to read the rest of it, because in the King James it's pretty heavy duty. Yeah, I wonder what some of the other translations say. You guys have some other translations, or y'all King Jameses?
King James.
You got King James there?
What's the Amplified say?
What?
For if you strike and punish him with the reed like rod, he will not die.
Yeah, well,
what's the whole idea, I think the heart of this is, obviously we've seen in children, foolishness is bound in their heart, so we need to correct them. They're going to make mistakes. So we lovingly correct them and consistently do so. Because what happens, what will happen if they don't get the right stuff? Yeah, they're gonna pay a dear price. They're going to lose their life or have a horrible life. So I think the emphasis there is let's don't stop correcting our children.
Again, I don't like to beat him.
Yeah.
It's definitely a loving approach.
Right, no. Because what's God's nature? Is God's nature to beat us? No, he's not to beat us into submission. So some of these King James especially, And unfortunately, through history, folks have taken this literally and have not really seen the heart of what God's communicating.
One of the explanations is, don't be afraid to discipline your child simply because discipline is unpleasant.
There you go. Yeah.
But they need to know boundaries. And by discipline, we'll establish those boundaries.
Yeah.
The Bible repeatedly puts boundaries around parental authority.
But you rarely see that nowadays. Well, like a lot of people, a lot of young people have children. They are very liberal-minded.
Yeah.
They do anything they want. The child does anything they want.
Yeah, they don't work with them or correct them. Yeah.
The Hebrew concept behind correction is broader than simply punishment. Proverbs repeatedly connects discipline with wisdom and instruction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wisdom, too. Wisdom from above.
Yeah.
Verse 17 is interesting. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear or the reverence of the Lord all the day long. You know, sometimes somebody has all the nice things in life, the cars, the houses, and this, that, and the other, but if they're non-believers, now, there's nothing wrong with believers having abundance. Not at all. We see that throughout the Bible, that God wants his people to have abundance. But we don't envy sinners in light of how we are motivated. But we're in reverence of the Lord all the time. Verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Guide thine heart in the way. So we want to go his way, God's way. Verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him.
Yeah. 20.
20? Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. You don't want to hang out with folks that are into alcohol and liquor. And
you don't want to hang out at the bar?
At the bar, yeah, that's not the best place to get blessed.
Anyone's gluttonous.
Yeah, gluttonous over in excess. That's the key, is excess. Nothing wrong with a bar, but what do you do with it? How do you handle the situations there? What's the purpose?
I like 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old.
Oh. It's that one. That's a good one. Verse 23 is a good one, too. Buy the truth, and what do you do? Not do with it.
Sell it.
Sell it. Sell it not. Along with wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's a good one. And then 24, we saw the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begotteth a wild child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Yeah, we're so blessed to have great kids as parents. It's a rejoicing for sure. Okay, anything else in that chapter that stands out to you? Can we go to chapter 24? We've seen this before. Verse 1 says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Boy, you just get into deep trouble when you get with folks like that. Verse 5 says, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength." Verse 6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is
safety.
Yeah. Yep. Not a bad idea to, if you got big decisions, to get some counseling. Talk with somebody that you feel you can trust and has your best interests in mind. Okay. The next verse I have is 13, which I practice this. "My son, eat thou honey, because it's good."
Yeah.
Yes. Put that in my tea. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to the taste. Evidently, honey is very, very good for you. So,
where do you buy your honey?
Do you do local honey?
Yeah, ideally, local honey would be the best. Natural, organic.
Honeycomb is...
Are bees non-organic?
Not very organic, but vegan.
Yeah. I guess it's how they process it that makes a difference.
The pollen. From
very good for you, though.
Very, very good, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, bees are very important for pollination of everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big time. Big time. Mm-hmm. I like verse 16. "For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." So, a just person, he may mess up or make mistakes or fall, but keeps getting up. You can't keep a good man down, huh?
Is there some reason for seven?
What's that?
Falleth seven times?
Seven, numerically in the Bible, is yeah, spiritual perfection. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's a lot. Yeah. But you got to keep getting up. You got to keep going for it.
How many times do you forgive your brother? What is 7 times 70?
Well, forgiveness, yeah. 7 times 70.
Wow.
There's a record where Jesus, I think, shares with the people about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And he uses those numbers to illustrate a lot. And he says 7 times 70, which... is a lot. Yeah. 490 times.
You get forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, the point is, there's not. Yeah.
Forgive.
Yeah.
Matthew 18:22 is where that's at. Yeah. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done of their Father. Yeah, okay, here we go. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, let's see, Peter called to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times? That's not very many. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a... That's good.
Yeah.
Seven times seven.
Yeah.
That means you just keep forgiving. Because you remember what we've been forgiven for.
What?
You can forgive like that because you remember what we've been forgiven for. God's forgiven us through Christ. Limitless, continuous, unconditional forgiveness.
Being righteous doesn't mean you never messed up. The difference is that you don't stay down. God's people can fall and still rise.
Yeah,
amen.
God's people can still make mistakes, but they can still get up. Yeah, good point. Verse 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. You know, a lot of times we laugh or point fingers at people that get hurt or
don't.
Yeah, or making a statement, dumb statement or whatever, but that's not our heart. We don't rejoice in our enemy failing. We rejoice in our enemy getting born again, our rising up to do good. So, the point is not to rejoice on the negative. 19 says, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked. At the wicked. Yeah, amen. Well, any others? I think I'm gonna stop there for tonight, unless there's some other ones that any of you have seen along the way that you would like to bring up.
Bob?
Yes.
Hi, Bob. Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
I think that 29, it says, do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for that. I will pay the man back for that he has done.
Yes, that's a great one. Yeah. Chapter 24, verse 29.
Yes, thank you.
That is great. That's a good one, Norma. Thank you. Yeah, we don't react or respond back to what somebody has done to us. But we do render what their work. What kind of work are they doing? A man according to his work. The whole point here is not revenge. But again...
I don't know what... I'm sorry, Bob, for interrupting you. I don't know what kind of Bible... When you talk about... the different translations, I exactly don't know what I have. But to me, it's very clear even in English, because it says, maybe I don't read it in the right way, but it says, do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for that he has done. I think it's too clear enough for me, this in English.
I think I understand.
What do you think? Don't you think this is clear enough to understand it, this translation?
But it's almost like what the man is, you pay him for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Worth is in his work. But you don't, you're not going to, if he's...
Regardless of what he does.
He's done for you, to you.
Yeah.
You do that back to him.
You respond to what his work according to his work, his efforts, what he has done. Yeah. I think that clears it up a little bit. Good. Thanks, Norma.
No, it's okay.
Any others? Well, there's a few more. We got 31 chapters in Proverbs, so we'll stop here, and we'll hit these other ones. And then I've asked Jeannie, what we'll do here, just so we plan ahead, and if you want to read ahead and have some of the verses that you feel are of value in learning, go ahead and do so. But I want to say, in 2 weeks, I've asked Jeannie to share on chapter 31, verse 10 and following, a virtuous woman. That's a fantastic section in God's Word about the qualities of a virtuous woman. So she'll be sharing that in 2 weeks. Some great insights there for you ladies and for us guys as well. For sure. Okay. So, Father, thank you for our continued opportunity to grow in your Word. Thank you for this book of Proverbs that we can see some great practical insights in living life and relationships and such. And thankful we can apply the truth in our life and be blessed for it. So thank you for your people tonight and for a sweet sleep and a great day tomorrow as we live it as born-again ones filled with Christ in us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.